If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. I had planned on preaching on Mark 10, but being that it's Mother's Day, the Lord directed me somewhere else this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, and we will begin reading in verse 10. Hear now the word of our God. Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. And in the Gospel of John, please turn with me to chapter 19. John chapter 19, reading verses 25 through 27. Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. The grass withers, the flower fails, but God's word abides forever. You may be seated. Let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now on this portion of this word, and that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Father in heaven, we do come before you now and acknowledge, O Lord, that you are the Lord and giver of life. You are the one who sustains that life, and you are the one who redeems our lives from destruction and crown us with glory and honor. And so, O Lord, we pray that you would do that work within us this day, that we would have ears to hear what you would have us to hear, that we would be able to honor you by focusing on and listening to you. And grant unto us, O Lord, not only ears to hear, but feet that are ready to and willing to, that do, that walk according to your word. We do pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to honor you in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase, a Proverbs 31 woman? There's actually a ministry out there somewhere on the radio called Proverbs 31 Woman. What comes to mind? Well, it depends if you are a woman or a man. If you're a woman and you listen to what was read there, words that probably came to mind were impossible. I feel guilty. How could she do that? This is incredible. One author wrote concerning this passage and concerning this day, Mother's Day, the following. Philip Ryken. My father always liked to read Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day. However, I'm not sure my mother appreciated it. Proverbs 31 is a poem of praise for the wife of noble character. It was written by King Lemuel, who knew how to lay it on pretty thick. And then he quotes the passage, and he goes on to say, not many women compare favorably to Lemuel's description, but my mother happens to be one of them. She is a noble woman. So it didn't take much imagination for us to see her in Lemuel's song. My father was not trying to be ironic when he read Proverbs 31. But as I say, my mother felt somewhat differently. Proverbs 31 made her feel guilty, I think, for she knew that she could never fully measure up to the biblical ideal. So who is this woman that we find described in this passage? Is it an idealized picture of a virtuous woman? In other words, setting the standard, the goal that a woman should strive to reach. Some authors, some of the early church fathers in particular, including Augustine, saw this description here, this description of this woman as describing the church as the virtuous woman. And in some of their explanations are very fanciful at least. Is that what is going on here? Is what King Lemuel is describing is that of the church as this virtuous woman? Well, there may be some truth in both of those perspectives, but I want to add a third perspective to it. And that is the book of Proverbs has as its crown of glory this passage. As we will consider this particular passage, we need to remember that it is actually in the context of a book. And that the book is concerned about wisdom, and wisdom is personified throughout the book as a woman. And so in a sense, what also is going on here is the culmination or the bringing together of that which has been taught throughout the book. It is a crown of glory, if you will, upon the whole book of wisdom or of Proverbs. So we will consider actually all three of those views, the idealized virtuous woman, picture of the church, and also as a crowning glory in Proverbs. My proposition is there before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge and wisdom, and the end thereof is virtue, honor, and life. In Proverbs 31, we behold the glorious beauty of the outworking of that godly fear in the life of a wife and mother. What are you doing to encourage and strengthen such a life? We noted that the book of Proverbs ends with this particular poem, this particular description of a woman. It's fascinating to look at this in the Hebrew. You actually find this poem as an acrostic. You have an A to Z, if you will, A, B, C, D. Each verse begins with a letter of the alphabet. And so it is designed as memorization and also maybe even as a way of teaching the alphabet to children. So it's organized in a particular manner. It is very stylized. And in particular, I want to argue that wisdom here is personified as a woman. And so we find throughout the book of Proverbs, all you have to do is start with chapter 1. You can turn just about to any of the earlier chapters of Proverbs in particular, and we hear wisdom being speaking like a woman. For example, in Proverbs chapter 1, if you turn to verse 20, you read, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And so wisdom is personified as a woman calling the simple to leave folly and to enter her house. Again in chapter 3, and again in chapter 4, and again in chapter 8, and again in chapter 9, we hear wisdom being personified as a woman. As a matter of fact, in the earlier chapters of Proverbs, we also find a foolish woman personified, foolishness personified as a woman in chapters 5 and 7. And so in especially the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, we find both wisdom and folly personified as women. And so we have to keep that in mind as we consider this portion, this text. Notice in particular, I want to focus on particular verses out of this text, and I will explain why so in a minute. Notice first of all, verse 11 of our text. The heart of her husband doth trust safely, trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. As we consider this proverb, this account, first of all, as a picture of wisdom personified, the book of Proverbs again and again exhorts us, God exhorts us through the book, that we must trust God's wisdom. As a matter of fact, Paul, writing concerning his preaching, describes his preaching in terms of wisdom, the wisdom of God, in contrast to the foolish thinking of the world. For he writes, I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he states that Christ is the wisdom of God. Paul preached the necessity of us trusting in the wisdom of God. Verse 24 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so our salvation depends upon the wisdom of God. In Christ. Christ is personification of wisdom. And so our salvation is one that is based upon our trust. It's not even our trust so much, but on Christ, but yes, our trust in it. And so for us, if we look at this particular picture as that of God's wisdom personified, we must trust God's wisdom. Our very lives depend on it. Our salvation depends on that wisdom. But our trust must have practical effects. One of those effects, again, at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, that faith is equaled or synonymous with another verb, another word. And what is that? What is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And so the very beginning of the book of Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Well, what is the end? Well, according to the book of Proverbs, this woman is one who fears the Lord. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so we are called to fear the Lord. Our faith is a faith of respect unto the Lord, a fear of the Lord. How can we fear the Lord? Well, throughout the book of Proverbs, the call is to walk in wisdom, to walk according to what wisdom would tell us. And so throughout the book of Proverbs, we hear this call of wisdom to follow what I'm saying to you, to listen to what I have to say, and to do what I have to say. It will deliver you from folly. It will deliver you from destruction. It will be a grace unto you. It will be a crown of glory. Furthermore, we're called in Proverbs and throughout the rest of Scripture to honor God in all things, and that includes listening to wisdom speak. And so, honoring God has to do with listening to and trusting His wisdom found in His Word, but also honoring God means trusting those whom God has given to us for our good. Isn't not this what the fifth commandment is all about? What is the fifth commandment? Honor your fathers and your mothers, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Honor your fathers. Doesn't that sound like the book of Proverbs? Honoring father and mother, the fruit of it is a long life. This is, in a sense, part of the message of the book of Proverbs. And so, children, how can you honor God this day? By honoring those whom God has given to you. In particular, trusting your mother and her word. That is, in a sense, what the book of Proverbs is all about. Again and again, we hear the call of wisdom. My son, or it could be my child, my daughter, my son, listen to me. Listen to my words. Because I love you, trust my words. Now, let's get practical for a minute. How can we trust? Let's talk. I'd like to talk for a moment to teenage daughters. Teenage daughters and mothers sometimes have a problem of conflict with that particular time of life. And it's very hard for a teenage daughter to listen to her mother, especially when it comes to things like clothing and other opinions on what is acceptable or unacceptable. How can you honor your mother? By listening to and trusting the word of your mother concerning those things which you have control over, and yet she has counsel in that area. How can you trust God by trusting your mother? Okay, I won't pick on just teenage daughters. Let's talk about teenage sons. How's that? The girls say, yes, that's right. Teenage sons. What kind of conflicts arise between teenage sons and their mothers? Usually, teenage sons get along better with their mother than their dad. Not always the case, but sometimes, yes. What about curfew? When mom sets a certain time frame, and she doesn't really know what she's talking about, but yet, does she really? Are we willing to listen to the wisdom of our mothers when they set a time and say, it is best for you to be in by such and such a time because the next day you've got to do such and such? Or even if they don't tell you why, to listen. To honor our mothers by listening to and obeying and trusting our mothers. Children. Okay, you thought I'd get away with just talking to teenagers. Children, today is a day where you're called to honor your mother. What is one of the hardest difficulties that you have in trusting your mother? I asked my wife that, and she said, eating what's set before me. When mom gives me something that I've never seen before, and I argue that it'll kill me, or I don't like it, or whatever. Trusting your mother that she's not going to poison you or try to hurt you. That she loves you and she cares enough that whatever the strange mixture of things before you, it is for your good. Trusting your mother in what is set before you. But the focus of this sermon is not primarily on children or youth. One of the elders, I told him what I'm going to do, and he said, we're going to get us in trouble. The focus that I'd like to focus primarily on this day is on husbands and fathers. Our text this morning in verse 11 states, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Again, Philip Reinken triggered me on this idea, and I thought it was a good one. He writes, "On Mother's Day, women like my mother deserve a break. Instead of always thinking about the wife of noble character, it is worth considering her husband. It is sometimes said that behind every good man there stands a good woman. One of the things we learn from Proverbs 31 is that the reverse is always also true. Behind every noble wife there stands a godly husband." And so we see, and what we're going to do is focus on a few passages, a few texts out of this Proverbs 31 section. We are looking at verse 11 right now. What is it that the husband, a godly husband, does to encourage, to honor his wife? Well, according to verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust her, so that he has no need of spoil." What exactly does King Lemuel mean by that? Well, according to one commentator, he states the following: "A faithful wife and a confiding husband mutually bless each other. With such a jewel for a wife, the husband has no misgivings. He feels that his interests are safe in her keeping. There is no need to look into the matters entrusted to her with suspicious eye. He has no reserve, no jealousies, ruling in his sphere without. He encourages her to rule in her sphere within. All is conducted with such prudence and economy that he has no need of spoil, no temptation to unjust gain, no need to leave his happy home in order to enrich himself with a soldier's spoil." A faithful wife and a confiding husband. His heart is at rest. He trusts his wife. And notice what Charles Bridges said also. He encourages her by trusting her. And he considers her gain far greater than that of spoil. The rest of the book of Proverbs, the rest of Proverbs 31, has to do with that gain, the glory of his wife, and the value that he has towards her. And so one of the questions and one of the challenges that I want to challenge the husbands this morning is that true of you? Are you a Proverbs 31 husband? Does your heart, do you safely trust your wife? Do you turn over that responsibilities? Or do you micromanage her? Do you trust her in working with the children? Do you trust her in the house? Is that true that you rely upon the Lord? Yes, but also your heart rests upon her. Do you honor her? Do you encourage her by trusting her? Secondly, the Proverbs also speaks concerning what it needs the man as well as the children need to be. Notice verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." It is important, and this is my second point, it is important not only to honor, but also to be worthy of respect. It is true that a child's action either honors or dishonors his mom or her mom. What you do as a child reflects upon your parents. All you have to do is go shopping in a grocery store and watch the children, and you see a reflection of that. Young men. I remember when I was a young man that my fellow young men, when we were considering looking for a wife, we loved this text, Proverbs 31. Oh yeah, I'm looking for a Proverbs 31 woman. My counsel to you is, before she will even have you, if you find her, you have to be a Proverbs 31 man. You have to be worthy of respect before she even decides to talk to you. Don't look for a Proverbs 31 woman if you're not a man of character, because she won't have anything to do with you. If she's a Proverbs 31 woman, she will evaluate you and determine that you are not the one. And so young men, those who look for that perfect wife, that Proverbs 31 woman, become a man of noble character first, because that's what she's looking for. And she will settle for nothing less. Children, honor your father and your mother. How can you honor your mother? Again, be worthy of respect. Walk as children of God. Again, throughout the book of Proverbs, the statement is made that the child's action will grieve or encourage his or her mother. For example, the very beginning of the second portion of Proverbs, chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You want to break your mother's heart, be foolish. Follow the ways of the world. Let the world dictate to you what you do, what you wear, what you act, what you think, and you will break your mother's heart. You will be heaviness to your mother. If you want to encourage her, be worthy of respect, be worthy of her, be worthy of what you are called as a child of God and as the child of your mother by walking in wisdom. Again and again, we find this call to the children concerning their actions. Again, I read Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Despises his mother. Be foolish. And Scripture declares, you despise your mother. Chapter 23, again, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. If you want to honor your mother this day, give her your heart. Honor her by walking as upright, as walking in wisdom. Now, what about us men? What can we learn from Proverbs 31 out of this verse, verse 23, as men? Well, notice what it says. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Well, first of all, he is known as a hard worker as well. He has respect in the community. When it talks about the husband sitting in the gates, he's in a position of authority over the city. He is one that is honored by the community and has been given authority. And that authority is not given to a sloth, a lazy man, or a wicked man. It is one of respect on the part of those that are without. Scripture commands a wife to respect her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. And many husbands love to quote that verse to their wives if they knew it. What I am suggesting here is make it easier on your wife to respect you by being respectable. Being one of integrity. Being a man who is a hard worker. One she respects because of being respectable. Yes, she's called to respect you, even if you are slothful. But yet, it's a lot easier to respect somebody respectable. And so, he is a man who is known as a hard worker. He is a leader. He is one respected by his community, and he is already a leader in his home. As a matter of fact, that is one of the callings of an elder. Paul writing to Timothy, as he is directing him on what an elder or a bishop should be like. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, one that rules well his own house having his children under subjection in all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And so here we find a man who is a leader in the gate, a leader in the city, a leader in authority in Proverbs, and in Timothy, we read an elder, a leader in the church, also has this responsibility to be a leader in his home. He must be a leader. A wife needs a servant leader as a husband. And then thirdly, he is also one of noble character as well. Again, Rankin writes, "One of the things that motivates the wife of noble character is her husband's nobility. Your character affects her, greatly affects her, and affects her character." You want a godly wife, be a godly husband. It is important that to be worthy of respect. And thirdly, my third point, verses 28 through 31, it is important to praise her. Praise requires engagement of the mind focused on the attributes for praise. In other words, looking for reasons and then communicating the value or worth. Praise is not praise if it's just speaking whatever needs to be said. We can all do that. Praise requires the engagement of the mind. One of the reasons why the Bible is filled with the attributes of God, the works of God, is so for us to be able to concentrate our minds on who He is and what He's done in order to give Him praise that is based upon truth that we have grasped. Praise without our minds engaged is empty. So it is praise concerning our wives, concerning our mothers. We need to look for and focus on those reasons for praise. To look and to evaluate. To look in the home and evaluate what exactly is about your home that is not like another home that your wife has strove to provide. In Scripture here in this passage, there's a number of things describing her bringing her food from afar off. Rising early in the morning, going to sleep late at night. What are the things that your wife or your mother does for you and for the house? Thinking on those things and realizing that not every mother or every wife is like that. And telling her, expressing that appreciation in what she does well, in what she is good at, and encourage her. Think about what it means to bless the Lord. It is not mindless, but sincere. So should our blessing be to our wives and our mothers. A wife and a mother needs praise from her husband and from her children. Her work is extremely demanding at home and in the wider world. Her work is never done. Recently, someone published that the average the pay that a woman, a mother, working mother, or a mother at home should be paid a minimum is $130,000 is what her worth is. In other words, the number of hours she puts in. So I think that's a low figure, to be honest with you. All the time and overtime that she puts in, etc. She's working 7/24. Even if she isn't at home, her heart is there with her children. Her work is never done. She needs praise. She needs that encouragement. One of the ways that you can discourage her is by exercising a critical spirit. You can crush that beautiful vase, that weaker vessel that God has given you by a critical spirit. Instead, we are called to praise her. Again, notice what it says. Not only the husband praises her, but the children rise up and call her blessed. Bless your mother besides one day a week or one day a year. Mother's Day is not the only day we're called to praise our mother. As a matter of fact, the best day to praise your mother is when you hate her guts. when you're mad at her for saying something that you disagree with or whatever. That is the day to look and say, Mom, I love you because you care for me even if I don't agree with you. Her work is extremely demanding. It is never done. She needs that encouragement. Husbands, you are called to be a husband. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a husband? Well, one other way of thinking about that is to be a farmer. Okay? A husbandman. Okay, we've heard that term before. In other words, we are called, men, to be cultivators of our wives. We are called to cultivate the garden that God has given us. And one of the tools of our cultivation of our trade is praise and encouragement. And so, brethren, we need to do that. We need to encourage our wives. It is a calling to bless her. The Scripture says her husband also rises up and praises her. Let her works praise her in the gates. Where did that come from? Probably the husband talking about his wife in the gates, praising her in the gates. Notice some of the things that she is to be praised. Verses 28 through 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is passing or vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of her, the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In conclusion, Proverbs 31 is an Old Testament example of faithful love in action. In other words, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 revealed in practical ways through the faithful love of a godly wife and mother. In honoring her today, we give honor to the one who made her and provides His grace and Spirit to make her who she is. And so, let us honor God by honoring our wife and our mother. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come before You and we do thank You for this portion of Your Word and the challenge it is, this example, this call to a virtue on the part of a woman. And yet also, we find the virtue of a husband and even of children in acknowledging the work of Your Spirit, the work of Your grace in this woman's life. We do pray, O Lord, that You would help us to trust in Your wisdom, in Your Word, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. And grant unto us, O Lord, the ability to trust our wife, to trust our mother, to be those that are worthy, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called, to encourage our mother, our wife, by our godly life, by our integrity. And help us, O Lord, to be aware of and to praise and to encourage in those things that we take for granted so often. We do pray that You'd help us to see, even if it needs a contrast, looking around and seeing homes that are broken and lives that are shattered, in order for us to understand the blessings that You have given to us in our family and in our mother. Help us, O Lord, to ever be aware of and to communicate our praise and thanksgiving for what You have given to us in this woman. We ask for Your blessing and encouragement upon her as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.